When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM. When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another PTSM Network Classic as we roll along through the WWE Network. Doing watch-alongs for some of the classic programming. And there is some classic programming which we're going to be watching today. We're going to go back into the vaults of Titan Towers, I guess, because that's what it was known back then, Titan Television. And we're going to have another episode of Tuesday Night Titans. Now, if you'll remember, this was a weekly program. And, you know, it was to promote the talent. That's what the whole focus of it was. And it was supposed to be kind of a talk show slash, it was like a Johnny Carson kind of thing going on. And then if you ever saw Fernwood Tonight, which was like this spoof on a local talk show, this was kind of like all in the mix. So it was... As I continue to say, it was so bad, it was good. And it was fun to watch the development of Vince McMahon as a talent because, prior to the WWF really taking off, Vince was pretty much doing, some commentary and, play-by-play, and he would do ringside interviews. And with the explosion of the WWF, and the opportunities they had to promote their talent on television, they're able to stretch their talents here. And you see Vince behind the mic and behind the desk for this so-called talk show. And it was, you know, an opportunity for them to bring the talent on and then put them in different situations. It was supposed to be comedy. Most of it was pretty short of that. But at the same time, it was kind of like, you know, you'd laugh anyway because it was mostly bad humor, which Vince loves, I'm sure, to this day. And, you know, toilet humor and that kind of stuff. And him, you know, being able to dress down people around him, as he often did with Alfred. He was kind of his foil. Alfred kind of played that Ed McMahon part. But they would bring on, you know, different talent and continue storylines on. It was fun. I love watching the old graphics as this thing starts out with. I mean, really basic stuff. It looks like, you know, like Pac-Man graphics, you know, with a big TNT comes floating out. And this was state of the art back then, folks. This was right on the edge because, you know, Vince spared no expense when it came to, you know, putting money out there to promote his talent and the quality of his television production. And it would certainly grow into something gigantic. But at the time, you're seeing the beginnings of all this. And they were building a huge facility. Maybe they hadn't even broken ground at this point, but there were plans to build this huge television production facility, which they did. And to this day, it's known as 120 Hamilton Avenue. But they've, you know, they're still in Stamford, but they've taken over a lot more property in that that place. So, but then, you know, that was what the plan was. But all these productions were done in Baltimore, and you know, the studios they did there. And as you'll see, They went all out to do you know, these different themes that they would have. And, of course, this one we're going to watch is from February 22nd, 1985, Tuesday Night Titans. And, of course, your hosts, Vince McMahon and his co-host, his sidekick, Lord Alfred Hayes, his lordship. And this one is featuring Hillbilly Jim. Now, remember, in 1985, they had launched this great big push for Hillbilly Jim. He was teaming up with Hulk Hogan, and if you remember how they brought him into the fold of this, he starts out you know, appearing at different TV tapings in the crowd, and he's just this rabid fan, and you know, he can't stand when all this wrongdoing goings on, and you can see him, he's very, very, you know, active at these events, and he's getting closer and closer and getting into the action, and finally he can't take it anymore, and he steps into the ring and, of course, ends up befriending Hulk Hogan, who takes him under those big 24-inch pythons and is going to make him a big wrestler in the WWF. And all was going very, very well until Hillbilly Jim had a accident at ringside where he tore his knee up really badly and would be out for months and months and months. And although he did end up finding, you know, great success with the World Wrestling Federation, we can only wonder how big he might have gotten if that hadn't happened and sidelined him and they kind of went on with different storylines. They tried to keep it going by bringing on Uncle Elmer and all the supporting cast of Hillbillies, but it just never really happened. And you know, there's nothing that you could really do about it. It wasn't a mistake of Jim's. I mean, it just fate took that nasty twist, and you know, it just didn't happen. So, but in this point in his career, they are really giving him a huge push, and they've actually devoted the entire show, this whole TNT episode, to Hillbilly Jim and his family, I guess you'd call it, collection. He's got Granny Kim, who's, you know, all part of this. And the whole episode is, you know, the set is just, it's all barnyard. It's all hillbilly. They've got all the animals there, too. They've got a goat, and they've got pigs and bloodhounds. And you got Granny and all this. She's actually plucking a chicken. I think it's a real chicken. Sure looks like a real chicken. And I guess you could do that kind of thing back then. I don't know. I mean, it was chickens. She's got the chicken in the bucket. And maybe it's a rubber one. I don't know, but it looks pretty real to me. And it's it's Vince and Alfred, you know, coming to see exactly how the hillbillies live in Hillbilly Jim's environment. And that kind of goes from there. So they keep things going here. And, of course, during this point, Hillbilly Jim is very much in, being tutored by Hulk Hogan. And he's training with him. And so, of course, we're going to get to see part of that training session between Hulk Hogan and Hillbilly Jim as, he takes him to the gym and he works with him. You're going to see him as he's trying to, get him to do these different moves. And of course, Hillbilly Jim, he's just a raw country boy. And Hulk's trying to get some finesse out of him because Hillbilly Jim, he's just used to, if got a flat on my truck, I just pick it up, and that's how if I get into a scrap, that's what I do. And so you're gonna see this training session as Hulk Hogan tries to work with Hillbilly Jim, and that includes a pretty disgusting scene of them doing their training table with Hulk Hogan's smoothies. And well, we'll see. Of course, it's always got to have something disgusting. Vince loved that, and you're going to be able to see what happens there. And then, of course, a lot going on at the barn with Granny, and they couldn't resist trying to get his lordship to milk a goat. I figured they would have had a cow. That might have been a little bit easier. But, of course, the guffaws come along with it as they, of course, humiliate his lordship. And he, of course, is game and plays along. Jim the Anvil Neidhart is also in this. And just... Oh man, this is, you talk about cringe-worthy television. This is it, with Mr. Fuji as his manager, and there's just a weird scene where he has Mr. Fuji tells Neidhart to take his shirt off, and I don't know. It's you'll see what I'm talking about, because he's got something in mind that you'll see. Also in this episode, you're going to see the U.S. Express, which, if you'll remember, Vince pairing up Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo together and calling them the U.S. Express, which, of course, was a ripoff or an opportunity for them to, put their own take on the Rock and Roll Express, of course, which were made up of Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, who were, these handsome, the women just loved them. And they do a whole spoof here on that about the, women being crazy about the U.S. Express, which is just, oh, it's awful. I mean, it's just terrible. I don't know where they found the women that were a part of this, but this isn't something you pull out the VHS and show the grandkids. Not at all. But it's... sometimes I think that they knew it was going to be bad. They wanted it to be bad. I hope to God that was the case, because I just could imagine people at the side of the stage there just, their head in their hands, just shaking their heads going, my God, are we really doing this? So, you'll see that when it comes up. And oh my God. But that's coming. Okay. Of course, we get back to dinner with Hillbilly Jim and Granny. Of course, it's got to have stuff on the table that's not really edible, and so we've got to have that. But it's, something that they, to them, it's gourmet. We'll see some moonshine in there that, of course, Lord Alfred Hayes is asked to drink, and you'll see his reaction to that. So, just all around, just a fun filled episode of just bad television. And that's why it makes it so much fun to watch. So I'm so glad you're going to be watching along with me. The other end of this, I got lots to tell you about, but let's get to it. Let's start watching this. Okay, you remember how this works. You just go to the WWE Network, go to click on In Ring, and then you're going to scroll down to WWE Classic Series, and shuffle over there to the right until you see TNT. Click on that. And honestly, I had a tough time tracking this one down because they don't put dates on the episodes on the page. You have to just kind of, you know, search through there. This one, as I said before, is from February 22nd, 1985. And the title of it is Hillbilly Jim's Granny Shows Off Mudlick Love. Who came up with that? Hillbilly Jim's Granny Shows Off Mudlick Love. So maybe you could find it there on the title, but I just kept searching through and finally narrowed it down. But anyway, so we'll give you a little chance here to find it. And so I'm going to pause, and then when we come back, we'll roll this classic episode of Tuesday Night Titans. Okay, ready? I'm going to pause.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All righty. Are you ready to go? You should be. I hope you didn't have too much trouble finding this one, but believe me, it's well worth it. It is well worth it. They did some bad episodes, but boy, this one's got to be top five. All right, you ready to do this? Let's get to it, okay? So you know what we do. Here we go. I'm going to count down, 3, 2, 1, and then play, and then we go. All right, ready? Here we go. 3, 2, 1, play. There we go. You heard the music, which I have been corrected. They had to replace and put in there because they used something that they weren't supposed to. It was licensed. So when Alfred starts yakking here, you can barely hear him because I think what they did was they, you know, they wanted to keep the audio of Alfred in there, but he's got music mixed in with his voice, so he's very low on this mix-up. And there's those fine those graphics I love to tell you about. Yeah, hear it? Your host, Vince McMahon. Oh, brought to you by 501 Levi's. I loved listening to Alfred when he would do the ads. Paid for by the following. A lot of people love to put that line out there all the time because that was kind of his catch phrase for all of the sponsorships. But you hear Alfred on here barely as he introduces the show. And here we go. Did you see there that you had Alfred hands Vince the microphone like he just did the intro? As Vince says, oh, this must be one of your ancestors, Alfred. Gee, who didn't see that coming? If it says, you know, yeah, well, I have been called a goat before. Interesting combo on the tux there, Alfred, and especially when you're going to the barnyard. And here we go. You got Hillbilly Jim with the overalls and the guitar. And Vince with those classic suits. And those weren't wireless mics then, so you know Vince has got this. I wonder how long that extension is, and Vince is kind of pulling it in. And we're getting all the introductions here. As Vince, of course, shakes the hand of Granny, who's been plucking them feathers off that chicken. And Alfred opts for the kiss instead of having to shake his hands and get his hands dirty. Now, look, is that a fake chicken? I mean, I don't know about that. I guess you could do that back then. I mean, people could go to a market and buy a whole chicken, right, that needed to be plucked. And this is all part of the family. Now, that's Jack the Burro. We introduced the dogs. I think next up we got the pigs coming. But look at that set. Look at the set there. They've got it all decked out. And that was Nelson Swegler's job at the time to make sure they got everything they needed to have whatever the theme was. And this week we're talking Hillbilly Barnyard. And, you know, Granny's going to explain that's what made her boys so strong. Well, Alfred's revealing he's never seen a chicken plucked before. I don't think Vince has either, but... and there he's got the Barnum suit on. This is when he would do the two-tone stuff. This is before the suits all became the same material. It was a real suit. The jacket matched the pants, the three-piece suits, but he would like this. This was the two-tone phase where the pants would be completely different, and it was more of the jacket and vest combo, the vest combo going there. All right, and of course, all of your barnyard animals have to have names, of course. That was Bruce the pig, and who wants to blame money that Alfred is going to pick that pig up? Yeah. That's what Vince is going to want him to do. I have a feeling. There he goes. And he gets, yeah, there we go. There we go. I don't think that they went over the dialogue a whole lot when they did these. These just seems pretty freewheeling, don't you think? Yep. Dishes out the insults like it's nothing, like he turns on the water tap. All right, the pigs get back together again, and you've got the goat out there in the foyer. So how much longer can they make this segment last when it's just awkward and nobody really knows where they're going? Okay, well then, when you all else fails, just take a shot of the burrow. Is that real? I don't know. What's the money on that, on the chicken? That's not in the notes. It doesn't tell you which which is it. As we continue here, and as Vince throws to a training session with Hulk Hogan and Hillbilly Jim. I think we've seen this one before. The Hulkster, you know, in the kitchen here at somebody's apartment in Stamford or in Baltimore, it must have been at the time. And not the greatest boom mic in that room because they're blowing everything out here. Hawk Gizzards. Oh, he's got his own smoothie. I thought we were going to see Hulk smoothies. Remember, he puts all the eggs in? Well, now it's Hillbilly's turn to turn the table here, literally, on Hulk Hogan. And with them Hawk Gizzards. Oh, boy, that's a little much to take, wouldn't you think? Yeah, I'll bet it did. That's a... Yeah, see, he's got his own version of his smoothies. Remember, the Hulk has his smoothies where he puts in the raw eggs. And yeah, apparently that puts more hair on your chest and on his chin. All right, yep. Hulkster's a champ. All right. Here we go. All right, now let's get to it. It's the first time in the gym for Hillbilly, right? Yeah, right. Okay, now comes the... We do the segue here, and then we're going to have the montage throughout as he tries to prepare Hillbilly Jim for the ring. So you got him down there in the bench in the corner and with this incredible effect. Got the squats. It's amazing what he could do in those overalls, right? Just pumping away. That's just, you know, what they used to do. We used to take the car axle, so that isn't too much different. And Hillbilly, yeah, he's fitting right into that gym for being in there the first time in his whole life, right? Collar and elbow, collar and elbow. That's how you do it. It's just the basics, folks. And, of course, we have to have the patronizing banjo music from Deliverance in the background. Oh, he's trying to show him the reverse. See? Oh, take him down that way. He's showing him all these different options he's got. Is that Al Snow? Who is that? Whoa. I got to lock up that elbow. Drop toe hold. Well, let's see if Hillbilly Jim's got what it takes. All right, what are you going to do? Try for the leg? No, that ain't working. Try for the head? No, he said the leg. Oh, well, Hillbilly's not doing so well here because he's green, right? Saying, what? How are you going to get out of this one? Well, he didn't need anything fancy, just all that raw strength he's got. Oh, the Hulkster, man, he's looking slim and trim there too, right? Well, the Hulkster's got a surprise for him, so we'll just stand right here until that transition. Oh, okay, comes back in. Oh, and he's going to get his first pair of boots. Well, he gets a little present. Let's see what Hillbilly's going to be able to do in those. So he does a big cartwheel. All right, so this was a major push, right? When you're getting the, literally, the hand of the champion on your shoulder. And another memorable little vintage feature there. Yeah, nothing better than that Hillbilly diet. Wow, who do you think is going to get stuck milking that goat? Hmm. Yep, let's give everybody a clue. Okay. You know, I guess you do, you got to milk them, right? You got to get the for the cheese and that kind of thing and goat's milk. Yeah, like he knows how to milk a cow. As the bloodhound is found something up to sniff there, as Vince puts the guitar, because he's not used to having bloodhounds kiss his ass. It's been other people. as Hillbilly wants to instruct his lordship on how to milk a goat. Man. Well, didn't I tell you? I promised this was going to be good. Alfred's not even very prepared there and was certainly pointed the wrong way. Mess with the goat, you get the horns. That's and that goat's like, I am not hanging around for this. I don't know what kind of party you guys are throwing. The burrow's up for it, I think. Oh, okay. Well, let's not give up yet. Well, this is one crazy bachelor party. Lordship's got a lot of guts there backing into the goat like that. But that ain't... I think his approach was wrong. What do you think? All right, as Vince asks Hillbilly, please get us out of this very, very bad segment. Play us something. Yeah, with more bad TNT right after this. Hey, yeah, okay. Yeah, as it just gets worse and worse, folks. We'll be right back after this. Hillbilly can play that guitar, though. I've seen him. Yeah, he really he can strum it good. As we come back here to TNT, and now we're back in the studio. Yeah, instead of the barn, right? Got it. Oh boy, something must have happened after we left. Yeah. All right, that's enough, Vince. Let's move it along, sir. This is going nowhere. Okay, as we get a series of golf claps. And Jim the Anvil Neidhart is instructed by Mr. Fuji. It's a little weird. They haven't come out. What is this? Lose the sweater, Jim. It's going to get a little cozy in here. What the hell? I hope they're going somewhere with this because that is just weird, okay? Man, I know we're used to seeing wrestlers with their shirts off, but I don't know. I never saw that happen on Johnny Carson. Did you? Oops. I think they misspelled his name there. Did you catch that? Yeah. Jim the Anvil Neidhart, boy. That all didn't work until he got paired up with Brett. I'm sorry. It didn't work for me. But I loved his promos once he was with the Hart Foundation and he got to the cackle. Now, how weird. If you just turn this on TV, how... Okay. Yeah, Jim could hurl the metal, that's for sure. Yeah, and that professional football background. And at this point, he's a new wrestler with the WWF. And, of course, you could tell they don't know really what to do with him. But, he's part of that heart integration into the WWF. Of course, that's when Vince had bought Stampede Wrestling. And of course, with that deal came the British Bulldog and Dynamite Kid, as well as Bret the Hitman Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart, all part of the family. And so they got a matchup here as they put him with Mr. Fuji to show him off. And they got Bruno Sammartino on play-by-play here, on commentary with Vince. And, of course, you know this matchup. What this is all about is to put Jim Neidhart over. So even on the show, they did mix in some wrestling, which was nice, right? As he continues here. Really a debut and as on television here with big drop kick. As Vince continues to put him over. And a big burly man, you know. Who doesn't want to be called burly, right? As Neidhart just heaves his opponent over the second rope there. Big and powerful, yeah. You know, you would think at this point, when you probably first saw him, you didn't think that, Jim was going to be this very popular, find great success in the WWF. But, you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, Bret Hart struggled in the WWF. They didn't really know what to do with him. And it wasn't really until they all got paired up, until they had Jim and Bret team up for the Hart Foundation along with Jimmy, the Mouth of the South Hart. So it was, and from that point on, things took off for all of them. And Neidhart working on Rivera, big right there. And Jose Luis Rivera was in a number of matches. As Neidhart, you know, the guy could work, so, you want to help put him over. You got Danny Davis in there as the ref. Interesting hairdo. A big forearm right to the chin of Rivera. And down he goes. Misses with a clothesline. Rivera with a little offense here. Hard into the corner, but Jim's had enough. Puts a boot up. And I think we're close to wrapping this one up. You know, give him a little bit of offense. That was nice. And a big power slam to wrap it up for the three count from Danny Davis. Putting him over as a heel. Anytime Mr. Fuji's near you, that's where you're going to start. Yeah, that's not how it's spelled. And between Fuji's laugh and the cackle, that's a little strange. I'm still a little thrown off here by the why he had to take his sweater off. And it's not like he's Lex Luger or anything here. I mean, you can see he's a big, powerful, stocky guy, but what the point of that was, I have no idea. But, whatever. Yeah. Hey, this is an old Confucius saying, apparently, by Mr. Fuji. They say he's in the right place. Vince trying to warn Neidhart, but at this point, I mean, he just wants to get put over, for crying out loud. Vince, I'll be with anybody out there at ringside. And always Alfred, the voice of reason here, and credibility. Yeah. You ever notice Alfred used to love to take shots at America? I used to have so much fun with him when we did play-by-play because he was just... And there were a lot of things that he just didn't understand about what we did in the United States. There were things that he just didn't get. He says, you know, those of you Americans like to throw things. It's like... All right, please put your sweater back on, and thanks for dropping by. And we got more coming up. And the new tag team champs, as I mentioned before, we're going to see the U.S. Express here. And I don't know if this was, legit. They wanted to, have their own version, like what they did with, the Road Warriors. They wanted Demolition. And I don't know if this was kind of a rip on that or what, but Lou Albano is the one who's, oh, look. And the ladies just can't keep their hands off them. As they're supposed to like rip their shirts off. They couldn't even do that right. So they, it's like, Albano's like, leave him alone. That's enough. All right. Wow. How did they get on the set? I thought this was a secured set. And no screaming, please. Try and control yourselves. So you got the U.S. Express, Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo. And doesn't Rotundo look a little bit, a little Joaquin Phoenix? Maybe a better... A stockier Joaquin Phoenix, you'll see. I mean, doesn't he? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But here they are, the U.S. Express. And they did manage to rip his shirt, but not the same for Rotundo. As Albano goes on and on, like how just crazy it is that the women just can't keep their hands off them. They just go wild. Yeah. Although Alfred was quite the coxman in his day, as you've probably heard, legend. But he says, "No, I don't have the same problems that these two have." And Lou Albano, had turned a babyface since he had become the spokesperson for multiple sclerosis. So now he was pretty much relegated to having to be a babyface manager. But it didn't matter what side he was on. He was always very good cutting the promos. As Vince is talking about when they won the tag team championship. See, now he's on the apology tour here, I guess, for all of his nasty deeds. But look at Albano. He didn't change the wardrobe when he decided to be a babyface manager. Wow, Albano says this is his 15th tag team championship. I don't think that this union lasted that long. And the Rock and Roll Express did have an appearance in the WWF, although it wasn't very long before they didn't last that long. But I think Vince still liked the idea of having, that was... The whole deal, I don't think that they were as nimble as and used as many high-flying moves as the Rock and Roll Express did, but you get the idea. as we're taking a look back at this match. It's kind of interesting that they're using this all handheld. So Barry Windham right there. And well, look at Adonis here. I think he was putting on a few pounds there, but nowhere big as he was before he became adorable. So they would do this in the show. They would take these cuts of the clip, but interesting, you know, method here that they went with all the handheld at ringside. So perhaps this was not a TV match, but they would, you know, send cameras to, you know, if it was something significant that they were going to be having a, you know, belt turn or something like that. But I kind of like it. It's, I mean, especially for back then, them doing this. Pretty damn dark. And some good pops there. Like it. So that was quite a pairing. Adrian Adonis and Dick Murdoch. As we get to see what happens here at the end of this matchup. Let me go. This is, I guess, exclusive video of you getting to see this on the show. And they're going to show you pretty much this whole thing. And Vince must have gone back and you know, did play-by-play with this. So I guess this would have been considered a dark match for a title here. And this is them capturing the WWF Tag Team Championship in Hartford. See, look at, he does look like Joaquin Phoenix, doesn't he? Or is it just me? As the adoring girls look on. Some months to come. And it's great to see, isn't it, these guys pretty much early on with the WWF and Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo, of course, who would become eventually IRS, Irwin R. Scheister, but it is a very young Mike Rotundo. And you can see, I mean, how he came along as in the coming years there, but... I love watching these guys when they're in there, you know, they're just getting started. As the adoring girls look on. But we've got more U.S. Express. We're not done yet. And still to come is Dinner with Hillbilly and Granny. You don't want to miss that either. And I wish I could recall how long they held on to these belts, but at the moment, I can't. Yeah. So there, you know, Albano's cutting a promo, putting over his tag team. And of course, oh, it was Albano who did this, who pulled off this another strategic victory for another tag team championship. Yeah. And you almost believe him when he's telling you all this stuff, don't you? Yeah, there you go. It's like, we're going to retire these belts to a museum or maybe our homes. I don't know. We haven't decided. Yeah, because do what the ladies didn't do. Oh, my God. There it goes. Your turn. You can scream now. I don't think he's going to get that off. He's going to have to take off the jacket. There we go. Fight over it, ladies. Yeah. There you go. That's great for... Vince loved it. Okay, now they want the other t-shirt. Okay. They held off as long as they possibly could. All right, they finally got the t-shirt. Oh, okay. Mayhem, it's crazy. Oh, don't forget the belts there, Lou. All right, it's not over yet. Hang with us. We've got to go to Granny's kitchen. We haven't had the meal yet. All right. This is it, I promise. This is the last segment. Ain't that pretty? Uh-oh. He's not being a gentleman at the table. There's only one person that Jim fears, and that's Granny. Well, that's great how Alfred and his lordship got all the way from the TV studio to Granny's kitchen, wherever that might be. Oh. Alfred looking for something a little stronger. What could that possibly be? Oh, okay. Wonder what's in there. Alfred would like it have it a more civilized way in a glass. Okay. Give it a shot there, your lordship. Careful. Everybody's going to have that vitamin D cocktail. Who didn't see that coming? Not built for moonshine, apparently. I have a buzzard egg. That'll wash it down. A little stiff there. Well, folks, we have to suffer through about 8 more minutes of this, so hang in there. You got collard greens, of course, you got to have that. There we go. You knew those were coming. Fat back. Yeah, that's how he got as big as he is. Pickled buzzard eggs. Oh, yeah, that's what he already said. Alfred can't even talk still at this point. Got to try some more of that moonshine there, Alfred. They got some ham on that table. That's not that unusual. Oh, we got some of that that chicken that got plucked at the beginning of the show. Oh, my goodness. Yep, we're going to see the whole damn meal, apparently. They just keep passing food around. That is a full training table. Got your chicken, you got your moonshine. What more could you want? Okay. We're not done yet. We gotta be introduced to the big Swede. Remember him? All right. Oh, look, we have a guest. And he came out of nowhere. So, guy knows his way around the kitchen, or at least at the table. Oh, he's going to, let's see if the Swede's got what it takes to handle the moonshine. All righty. Some of that apple cider, I mean moonshine, wink, wink. Granny Kim. All right. A little high test. That's oh, all right. Okay, well, Alfred's going to give him the size drink that he thinks he deserves. And as the feast goes on here. And let's see if the Swede is man enough to handle this. What do you think is going to happen here? Because Alfred couldn't even take a sip. All right. White wine. Smells good. Ooh, that's good stuff. Takes that ice water down like it's nothing. Ah, yeah, he likes that. Alfred sells it just right, huh? All right, we're going to get to find out what Sweet Hansen can do in the ring. Uh-oh. It doesn't start out too well in this videotape. Yeah. SD Jones, man, they had him busy putting people over. And that was, I think that was gravity that took care of that one. Man, SD Jones, they had him doing a lot of jobs. I mean, at that point in time, and then he would get a little push along the way, but man, he ended up doing a lot of these. I mean, that's not showing off a whole lot of what Swede can do in the ring. I mean, basically falling on a man. I don't know about that clip. Oh. And that's how you stretch out a moonshine joke for about 10 minutes. Yeah. Vince never liked to just wrap up a show. They always had to do like two or three endings. That's the way it always was. I don't know. Maybe it was just to get spots in there, I guess. Oh, my God. The meal goes on. What is this, about like 6 hours? That's right. How do you think he got so big, as we've said 17 times already? I think Swede's really enjoying his meal. Now, it's an interesting point in these notes, and I should mention this, I believe, when he talks about having David Schultz on, was, I think, after the incident with Stossel on at one of the arenas where he boxed his ears and gave him damaged his eardrums, and that resulted in a big lawsuit. And you know, it was one of those things like any publicity is good publicity. I don't know about that one. I don't know, but anyway, there you have it. As we got through another one of these. We may have to. I may have to put off TNTs for a little bit and come back. It's just too much. Assistant director Kevin D. Dunn. How far he has come. Oh, I miss your lordship. What a great guy. And, you know, that really did look like a hillbilly kitchen, though, didn't it? Right down to the wallpaper. Titan Sports production. Woo! Okay. Wow. Okay. We did it. We got through it. I don't know. Maybe this time so bad was bad. I don't know. But that's kind of up for you to decide. But, you know, they did a lot of different things back then. It's amazing to think about how far the production has come since then and, you know, what they're able to do. But I have to admire Vince for the innovativeness of the programming at the time. You know, it's stuff that people really hadn't seen before. And it was a great way to show off the talent, put them in different situations where they could have a conversation and you could learn a bit more about them or push storylines. And they did that very effectively. So, you know, there you go. Another episode, that episode of Tuesday Night Titans, February 22nd, 1985. And, of course, we got our notes here. I want to be sure and give credit to where it's due, F4WOnline.com. F4WOnline, of course, Wrestling Observer. And, you know, there's a lot of different notes they have in here on the show that I really, a lot of it I just don't remember. And so it's great to be able to, you know, look at these. And this was way before my time, at least a couple of years anyway. But that show was not around when I arrived in the WWF. And then, of course, they'd already made that move to Stamford by the time I got up there. So this is all vintage stuff from the days in Baltimore when they you know, did all the production down there. And that is the connection how Kevin Dunn came to the WWF. His father was involved in putting together a wrestling program down there. And Kevin, a very, very talented kid even then, and Vince saw the talent in him, and he made the move up to Stamford and quickly moved up the ranks. I mean, by the time I got there, he was already producing the programming, and he was, you know, very confident in what he was doing even then, and very creative. So the fact that he's reached the heights that he has with the WWE really comes as no surprise, because besides being a very talented, you know, television production person, he also became very adept at handling all of the workings that go on behind the scenes with, you know, there's a lot to negotiate with management and all those people that are involved in it and people that Vince would bring on. And then they, you know, from outside, from the outside world. And, You know, Kevin has, you know, been through it all. And I think his greatest gift is that he knows how to be around Vince. I mean, it's as simple as that. And he has for decades. So it's fun to watch these old shows and then seeing the credits. You know, Kerwin Silfies, who's the great director with the WWE and still with them to this day. They all got their start down there and made the move. And, man, I'm sure they had no idea what it would become. But they were believers, and it has absolutely paid off in a number of ways for them. But yeah, it's fun to watch that stuff. Tuesday Night Titans, February 22nd, 1985. And folks, I'm glad that you've stayed with me on this, watching this episode. Yeah, I just want to thank you for that. A lot happening with Primetime with Sean Mooney. You know that I've hooked up with the NWA and NWA Power and all that Billy Corgan and Dave Magana have got going on. And just a lot happening. And when you see this, it is now, this thing's going to drop today, Monday, February 17th. And tomorrow, Tuesday, is when the debut of The Circle Squared is going to be out, the brand new episode. And it's a new program that Billy Corgan and Dave Lagana have put together. And it's a show that gives a lot of the independent talent out there an opportunity to compete for a contract with the NWA. And what they do is originally there is they had a, you know, an appeal for people they could put in videotapes and cut promos, and then they selected them, and they have a group that they are all competing. And I'm hosting the program, which I'm really, really excited about. But what's really awesome about this show is that like the fans are the ones that are going to decide how far these guys get and who stays and who goes. And they're doing some fun stuff because it's all interactive. And, where they've got people that do watch-alongs, and they include that in the program, and these things pop up and these people give their takes. And that could be you. You can be a part of it. And the way you can find out a lot more about it, just go to nationalwrestlingalliance.com. And get all the details. But don't miss the first episode, which is going to be released on YouTube in the slot where NWA Power usually is. It's 6:05 p.m. on YouTube. And check out the first episode. I'd love to get your feedback on it, too. Please email me at primetimemooney@gmail.com. And be sure and tune in to our original episode we got coming up this week with another NWA star. Thunder Rosa joins us on Wednesday, and really had a great conversation with her. Melissa Cervantes is really quite an accomplished professional wrestler, but also she's now stepped into the ring of the MMA out there and has had her first MMA professional fight. I mean, she is tough, but just a really, really nice person, and now the NWA Women's World Champion. And so a lot going on with her, but she has got a great story. I mean, she worked her ass off to get to where she is and paid her dues. And you want to hear a lot more about her career and about her life. Be sure and catch that episode. It drops on Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. And then, of course, we've got our Vault episodes on Saturday. So a lot of content coming your way, and I hope you're going to continue to go along with me on this journey. It's getting more and more exciting, more stuff happening, and I'll be telling you more and more every week. I love bringing the guys from the NWA on. They've got a lot of them have come from different outfits. They've worked for everybody. You know, a lot of them have worked for the WWE, and they all have great stories to tell, and it's really awesome to see them with this new organization and the reaction they're getting with fans. So we're going to have a number of them on Primetime, and I hope that you're going to catch those episodes. Also, you remember you can get Primetime with Sean Mooney every episode early and ad-free. All you have to do is go to become a Patreon member, and you can do that by going to patreon.com/primetimemooney. That's patreon.com/primetimemooney. And for as little as $4.99 a month, you get all of our episodes early and ad-free. Alrighty. Okay, I think that's going to do it. Once again, thanks for joining me for this Network Classic watch-along, the PTSM Network Classic. And we have one every Monday that drops. Who will we have next week? What program will we have on next week? We shall see. I don't think it'll be a Tuesday Night Titans. I need a little break from TNT, but we will have something that will entertain us all. I'm sure of it. All right. In the meantime, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Sean Mooney, and I am out.